Tomorrow's elections for governor and U.S. senator have gotten a lot of attention, but changes in the Wisconsin legislature could also have major impacts for state government. Republicans are within reach of winning a two-thirds majority in both houses of the legislature. That would give them the power to override vetoes, from the governor. To win that supermajority, Republicans would need to flip one seat in the state Senate, five in the Assembly. Winning all those races may be a tall order, but some key seats in northwestern Wisconsin stand a good chance of changing hands. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think about the potential for a veto-proof Republican majority in the state capitol? Have you seen the political mood in your part of the state change in recent years? Have your local district lines changed in a way that could sway the outcome? Do you want to see this supermajority happen, or do you worry about it? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@wpr.org. Reed Epstein is a politics reporter for the New York Times covering campaigns and elections, formerly with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. His recent piece focuses on races in northwestern Wisconsin that could be key to Republicans getting closer to that supermajority. Reed, welcome back to Central Time.
It's great to talk to you again.
Before we look at the possibility of that supermajority, can you talk about what's at stake? How much different could Wisconsin government look with that Republican supermajority?
Well, if the Republicans take two-thirds in both chambers, it really won't matter that much who wins the governor's race. A big feature of Tony Evers' administration over the last 4 years has been his vetoing of 146 bills from the Republicans in the legislature. And if Republicans take a two-thirds majority, or if Tim Michaels is elected, those bills and likely much more will come out of Republican control in Madison. And I think given just how politics has changed in the last couple of years since Donald Trump has been out of office and kind of what it means to be a Republican at this point, I think you would expect to see a much more aggressive posture from those legislative Republicans in Madison than you saw during the Scott Walker years.
And Wisconsin's a state, I think, known in many cases for very close statewide elections. The last couple of presidential elections have been, 1%-ish affairs. Last race for governor, for example, our polls are very close to the race for governor and U.S. Senate here, at least according to the latest polls. How is the legislature so off kilter from that?
Well, if you go, it really goes back to 2010, when Republicans in the Republican wave election during the first President Obama midterm, they won control of the legislature in Wisconsin. Scott Walker was elected governor, and a lot of people remember what came next was the Act 10 fights, where you had tens of thousands of people protesting in Madison. But what got a lot less attention at the time was the new lines that the Republicans implemented for the state legislative districts, and that really allowed Republicans to have a vice grip on majorities in the state legislature. And so that those lines existed for 10 years. And then when there was a new census in 2020 and a new opportunity to draw new lines for the decade that's just starting, the Wisconsin Supreme Court ruled that because the legislature and Governor Evers couldn't agree on a set of maps, that the Supreme Court ordered that the new maps operate under a least change rule from the existing heavily gerrymandered maps. And that gave Republicans an opportunity to lock in these large majorities in a 50-50 state for another decade. And that's those new maps for the 2020s are what the candidates are running on tomorrow.
Let's bring on a caller at 800-642-1234. Brian is with us in Superior. Brian, hi.
I just want to make a quick point of the fact that, you guys touched on gerrymandering, but I'm kind of afraid of what Michaels came out and said in reference to if he gets in office, there's going to never be another Democrat in office. And what does that mean? More gerrymandering? More corruption? I mean, when there's a two-party system, at least we have a slight chance of checks and balances. And that's my point.
Brian, thanks for the call. Reid, I think you mentioned that particular quote in your reporting. The Michaels campaign has said he means his policies are going to be really good. People won't want to vote for Democrats. Democrats looking at that, as Brian is, though, saying it's in effect a threat that the election landscape could be changed under Republican control.
Yeah, and it's the latest in what's been a pattern with Tim Michaels, where he has said something in public and then his campaign shortly thereafter has had to sort of walk back and say that's not what he really meant. And I think what we've had to go by based on other candidates who have sort of been in this position where their campaign has had to sort of do a lot of explaining about what they meant is usually in that case, the candidate means what they say and the campaign is doing some explaining for political expedience.
Brian, thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. Talking to Reid Epstein from the New York Times, looking at the possibility of a Republican supermajority in the state legislature, in which case, in effect, at least when it comes to passing laws, it doesn't matter who would win the governor's race because there'd be a veto-proof majority. You can join in with your thoughts or questions at 800-642-1234. Reid, our caller there, Brian, was from Superior. And this is a part of the state, a northern and northwestern Wisconsin, that you have been focusing on a reporting from. Why is this area so important to this story?
Yeah, I was up there last week in Superior and Ashland and also in Bayfield County as well. It's interesting because those three counties have voted for Democrats in presidential elections in Wisconsin in every election since 1976. They have had Democratic members in the Assembly and the state Senate for even longer than that. It is a part of the state that has a lot of union members, people who worked in paper mills and at the shipyards in Superior and Duluth. And like a lot of rural parts of the country, it has been slipping toward Republicans during the Obama and Trump years, but it still has remained in the Democratic column. That is likely to change in the elections tomorrow, because now both Assembly seats and the state Senate seat there, the way they have been redrawn, Donald Trump would have won all three of them. And those are key seats that help get Republicans toward the veto-proof majorities they need in both chambers. Like you said, they need five to flip five seats in the Assembly. Two of them are in basically based in Superior and Ashland. The state Senate district covers the northern swath of the state, all the way down to the Twin Cities and over to Rhinelander and Minocqua. And it is a part of the state that that has been Democratic, perhaps, you know, long after it should have been based on the demographics there. But once Democrats lose those seats, they become very difficult to win back. And that's what we have seen in districts that are like this, both in state legislatures and in Congress around the country, that once some of these sort of long-held Democratic areas turn, that the party does not win them back.
And you heard some from both parties on their strategies in the area. You visited with Governor Evers about this issue while he was campaigning in northern Wisconsin. What did he say about the possibility of a Republican supermajority?
Governor Evers was optimistic that they could hold on to the ability to sustain a veto in the Assembly. He said the state Senate would be tougher. The other thing that the governor said was that if Democrats do lose the ability to sustain the veto, that he expressed some optimism that there would be moderate Republicans that would work with his administration to try to prevent some of the more aggressive Republican proposals from getting through. You know, that I knew when I asked him if he could name some members who he was thinking of, he declined. And so that was hard to know how much of that was wishful thinking or something that he is telling himself to try to get through the election and not look at the worst case scenario.
And then some Republicans you report in the area are saying, hey, our party's going to control the legislature. You might as well elect somebody locally who's going to be in the majority.
Right. That was the argument from the Republican Party chairman in Douglas County, which includes Superior. He said that, you know, far northwest Wisconsin, it's, you know, 6 hours from Madison. People feel like they're forgotten by the state government up there. And when you have Democrats representing the region in the state legislature, that they seem even more forgotten, because the place where governing is happening and where bills are written are in the Republican Conference, and that if the Democrats have very little influence on policymaking in Madison, which he is right about that. Democrats only got hearings on 2% of the bills they introduced this last legislative session. So it's hard to argue with the idea that that if you want a real influence on how state government works and what laws are passed in Wisconsin, that you need to have a voice in the Republican conference rooms.
Let's go back to our callers. Jack is with us in Madison. Jack, hi.
Hi there. So I have a bit of a loaded question, but if you'll bear with me on this, my first part is, in light of this potential Republican supermajority, I wonder what chance down ballot Dems have of getting elected in the Senate and or Assembly to hold on to the few seats we have and hopefully pick up a couple more. That way we have enough protection against Republican supermajority. And so that's part one. And then part two would be, since we have a state Supreme Court race coming up next year, assuming the liberals take control of the court and take up a case on this last round of redistricting, if that might be able to help Dems potentially pick up some more seats in further elections, I wonder just what the prospects of those trends would entail exactly.
Jack, thanks for the call. I'll refer you to a piece at WPR.org by our own Sean Johnson. Jack, who goes through some of these seats, potential Republican pickups, potential Democratic pickups, and some, not odds making, but the giving a scope of the chances. Reid, to Jack's first point, are people thinking of this as a done deal, or is this still legitimately up in the air right now?
I think the Assembly is much more up in the air than the Senate at this point. There's a number of seats that could go either way. It's a much more of a coin flip, and we'll see kind of what the electorate looks like tomorrow, how strong turnout is among both parties, and where turnout is strong too. Because you got to remember, like, a lot of these seats that are competitive are not seats in heavily Democratic areas, right? They're not in Milwaukee. They're not in Dane County. You know, there's a seat in Kenosha that's very competitive. There's another one in Greenfield in the Milwaukee southwest suburbs. There's another one in a couple in the Fox Valley and Beloit. And so that's kind of where this fight over the Assembly supermajority is taking place. The caller's second question is I think, a much bigger sort of atmospheric point here, is that there is a big Supreme Court race that Wisconsin will vote on in April. And if a liberal candidate wins, I've already been hearing Democrats in Wisconsin talking about how quickly they can bring cases to force a new legislative map, to force a change to the state's abortion law that prohibits virtually all abortions in the state. And so those are things that people are sort of fantasizing about doing if they can win the Supreme Court case. But you have to remember, if Republicans are in control, if either Tim Michaels wins or there's a supermajority, Republicans have talked about changing the election law on day one, come January. And it's not out of the realm of possibility that there could be a whole new system of voting if it's passed in January, enacted in time for that April election, that would impact how people vote in that Supreme Court race.
Thanks for that call, Jack. We're talking to New York Times politics reporter Reid Epstein about the potential for a veto-proof Republican majority in the Wisconsin legislature. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Are you hoping this happens? Are you worried it could happen? What questions do you have? Call 800-642-1234. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Verrett. We're picking up our talk with Reid Epstein, politics reporter for the New York Times, looking at the possibility of a Republican veto-proof majority in the Wisconsin legislature. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Reid, before we go back to our callers, how unique is Wisconsin in terms of being a fairly evenly politically divided state that has a potential for one party to have this veto-proof supermajority in its legislature?
It's rare, but not unique. In North Carolina, which is a narrowly divided state, a little more Republican than Democrat, but it has a Democratic governor, Roy Cooper. Republicans need to pick up just a couple of seats in each chamber to be able to override Governor Cooper's vetoes. And then there's a couple of Republican states that have Democratic governors in Kansas, Louisiana, and Kentucky, where all three of those Democratic governors do face veto-proof Republican majorities. But none of those states, and even North Carolina, are not the sort of quadrennial presidential battleground that Wisconsin is, and none of them have quite the same reputation and record of being a 50-50 state as Wisconsin. That's what really makes Wisconsin stand out here, is that it is a state where Democrats have a record of winning statewide elections. In fact, have won 9 out of the last 10 statewide elections, and yet the state legislative map is so tilted toward Republicans that they are on the verge of winning 2/3 of the seats in both chambers.
Let's go back to our callers. Jimmy is with us in Valley Junction. Hey, Jimmy.
Afternoon, gentlemen. I'm hoping when the voters go and poll 11 tomorrow, whatever, however they vote, they think about when Walker and the Republicans had the full control, just how much authority they took away from local officials and school districts to fund what they thought locally was a good idea. Everything kind of emanated out of Madison, and that's the complaint that Michaels talks about, turning Madison upside down, whatever that means. And so I think that's what finally undone Walker when he got beat by Evers, is the people local level said, you know, we've had enough of this total control from Madison.
Jimmy, thanks for the call. What do you think, Reed?
Well, that's certainly a big complaint you hear, especially from Milwaukee. Now, the city of Milwaukee is without an infusion of funds from the state government, really is either going to have to make massive cuts to its services, particularly its police department, in the next couple of years, or it's going to wind up declaring bankruptcy. And that's a real ticking, fiscal ticking time bomb that's happening for the city and the state. And the Republicans who control the state legislature in Madison have not shown any real inclination to help solve that problem up to this point.
Thanks for the call. Harry joins us now in Rock Falls. Harry, hello.
Hello. My question is, what with Trump endorsing the write-in candidate in Robin Voss's district, do you think that that might split the Republican vote and that actually the Democrat might win that district?
Harry, thanks for the call. I don't think there is actually a Democrat on the ballot. There's another write-in candidate. A tall order, even with a Donald Trump endorsement, read for a write-in candidate to overturn an incumbent like Robin Voss.
Yeah, you know, we've seen a lot of wacky things in the last few years during the Trump era. And you remember Robin Voss almost lost the primary to Adam Steen, who's challenged him in the primary, now is running as a write-in candidate and has Trump's endorsement. But I guess I wouldn't bet too expensive a meal on that race, on Robin Voss being in a whole lot of trouble in that race.
Thanks for the call, Harry. Another thing you focus on in your piece, Reed, based on your reporting here in Wisconsin, the idea we hear again and again that more and more elections, even at the state or even local level, are still national issue elections. How much of a factor is that? We're focusing maybe more on big nationwide stuff instead of our local and state politics.
I mean, I think it's a big issue. You know, you think about the difference between now and even 10 or 15 years ago, how many people that don't get any, you know, don't get a local newspaper or don't have local radio stations because corporate ownership of those has, you know, cut away at the number of reporters that are available. You know, in Wisconsin, we've seen the Gannett company buy up most of the local daily newspapers and centralize the reporting and cut the number of journalists that exist in a lot of these communities. And so that's meant that there is just happens to be less news being reported in these places. And at the same time, people are getting more and more of their news from social media, which, you know, we know about how people get siloed into their sort of political areas on Facebook and Twitter and elsewhere, and on cable news. People are watching Fox News. They're getting their, you know, broad Fox News or MSNBC or even CNN. They're getting broad swaths about national parties and less information about what's happening locally. And that, for a lot of these Democrats in rural areas, they are have told me that it really makes it difficult for them to explain that they're different from Joe Biden, whose approval rating is subterranean at this point. And it makes it so that they do a lot of explaining about what they're not and less about what they're for.
And you wrote it for some of these districts, especially those key districts in northern Wisconsin, maybe having to drive a couple few hours to do the local TV or newspaper interview.
That's right. And, you know, the newspapers in Superior and Ashland come out just a couple times a week. They have one or maybe two full-time reporters. They're in a TV, the state Senate district cuts across TV markets in Wausau, Duluth, and Minneapolis. And so there's not going to be any attention paid to that from the local television stations. And it's frankly very expensive to get a message out. And so when the combination of all those things happening and the low news environment leads voters into their partisan corners.
Reed, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Thank you. Happy to be on.
That's Reed Epstein, politics reporter for the New York Times, now formerly with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He talked to us about the possibility of Republicans winning a veto-proof majority in the Wisconsin legislature. Republicans would need to flip one seat in the state Senate and five in the Assembly in order to make that happen.